Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports and business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase the sales of brands and their retail partners. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. Hello, and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze, and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the sports and outdoor industry. Today, on Monday, the 5th of June, 23, I'm enthusiastic of meeting Debbie Ree, Head of Corporate Communication and CSR at Ekip, which owns Rapp and Low Alpine.
Nice to meet you, Kent. It's great.
Our conversation in the next 45 minutes is in cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase sales of brands and retail. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. That was a long intro, Debbie. I'm so sorry for that.
We know who we are, where we are, and why we're here.
Exactly. And this is something what I would love to share with our listeners and viewers. Who are you? What makes you tick? Can you give us a personal intro, please?
Oh, goodness. It's probably one of the hardest questions.
Should I do it for you?
Yeah. So I'm Debbie. As you say, work at Equip. We have the Rapp and Low Alpine brands. It's an amazing job for me. I love the outdoors. I've always been an outdoor geek. And to have an opportunity 4 years ago, I started working for the company. So it was just an amazing opportunity. In terms of what makes me tick, probably hard work. I like a bit of pressure. I like a bit of challenge. I like learning. And that's one of the things that I've probably found most stimulating working in this industry is every day I'm learning something new, meeting new people, understanding new things. So it's one of the things that probably keeps me going, gets me up in the morning. I particularly like working with people. And one of the things that I most look forward to is working together as a team to keep things moving forward. So for me, a good day is getting home at the end of the day, knowing that we've tried hard as a team, we've tried to deliver something. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but knowing that every day we're challenging ourselves. And actually in my personal life, it's not much different. So I spend, if I'm not in the office, I'll be out on my mountain bike or my gravel bike, or I'll be bike packing. So I'm quite pleased that we've got an image today behind us of the new Rapp Cinder range, because I was super excited when I saw that was coming out. So I spend free time just riding my bike, clearing my head, and I'm probably challenging myself in other ways.
Thank you very much. And seeing it from the business perspective side, you already brought in some what you do and what you are in charge for, but maybe you can sum up your job in the last 4 years to make sure that all our listeners understand the professionality which come across in this.
Yeah, it's a complicated job title. I think even I can't remember it. So it's great that you were able to call out what it is. So I head up corporate communications and corporate social responsibility. Corporate social responsibility is about how we do things better, do things right, really look at our values, our integrity, and really try and make the business the best business we can. It works really nicely with corporate communications because so much of that is how we communicate to our key stakeholders, whether that's our employees, retailers, our consumers. It's really about people like you. It's really about how we tell our story and really showcase what we're doing well, but also just be really honest about some of the things that we're still working on and we haven't got right yet. I've been working with a company for 4 years. Those 4 years have been super challenging, super busy, but very rewarding and good fun.
And maybe some facts and figures on Ekip. What is this brand standing for and how many employees, etc.? It's just a short business intro.
Yeah, so we're based in the UK. We're based in Derbyshire, which is right in the middle of the UK, next to a national park. If you're a climber, we're next to some probably world famous Whitstone crags, and part of the brand, we're the owner of two brands, RAP and Love Alpine. RAP was pretty much born in the Peak District National Park by its founder, Rab Carrington, who really sort of cut his climbing teeth on those rocks that are sort of a 20-minute drive from the office. So we still very much got our roots in Derbyshire, which is fantastic. We've got around 230, 240 employees. We've grown quite a lot over the last few years as the outdoor industry has just expanded and grown. We're no longer just a small UK brand. We're actually global now, and we operate in North America, all across Europe. We've got distributors in Australia and New Zealand. So you see RAP around a lot. The brand Low Alpine is a pack brand, so we make amazing backpacks. Originally US, but actually it was it became part of the Equip family in 2011. And it's a great brand. The pair work together. And it actually makes us, we often talk about ourselves as the mountain people. So it's about high altitude, high mountain. And we're really about people who are looking for technical performance and are really sort of trying to push the limits of what they can do in the outdoors. So it's a great place to work, actually.
And I will talk about it once. It's beautiful.
Brilliant. Beautiful. And seeing what you said, your job description from, maybe we can have a glimpse in what was 4 years ago, because then we can outline what happened until today. So 4 years ago, what did you find? Why did you choose this company? What can you bring us back to the historical story?
Yeah, for sure. So the brand was doing an awful lot of really good stuff. And when I say good stuff, I'm talking about corporate responsibility activity. So there was already a mindset of building products that were built to last. We had care and repair centers. We were using responsible down. Lots of the things that consumers were expecting from an outdoor brand, RAP and Low Alpine were already doing. They just weren't communicating it particularly well. And what we found were there were many other brands out there who had suddenly started to promote this as part of their product marketing, their communications. I came in from a totally different industry, another great industry, but I came in new to the outdoor industry.
Which one was that?
I came from the brewing industry. I've had a gifted life. I've gone from the brewing industry to the outdoor industry. It doesn't get much better than that. But I came in having done a similar role in the brewing industry. And then really, for the first 6 months to a year, it was looking at the things that we were already doing and starting to pull it together into more of a focused strategy. So develop what we call RAP DNA, which was really looking at the fact that this is something we've always done. This wasn't new to us. From the first sleeping bag that RAP Carrington ever designed 40 years ago, he developed it with longevity and durability and performance, which is already the key words around sustainability. You want products built to last, most sustainable products. So me coming in was really about refining that strategy. And we developed RAP DNA, which is very much focused on looking at partner, product, planet, and people. So four really simple areas, and everything we do now falls under sort of those four threads of our DNA. We now review those, we set targets against those, we report on them. We've actually released our sustainability report. We released it today, but I think that shows how far we've come in that 4 years ago, we were doing a lot, but it was all done a bit in secret. We were being very British. We didn't want to tell people what we were doing. And here we are today, 4 years later, standing on a stage sort of an hour ago telling people about our sustainability report, quite out of character for where the brand was. But I think as a business, we've realized that this is so important, how we communicate to people.
And this was exactly the journey I wanted to outline for how amazing this must be. And when I first heard your name some years ago, that was like, okay, the game is changing.
Yeah.
The game is changing for Equip. And this was somehow the most, for me, important thing to understand. How did you do that? And if we see now our listeners and viewers, for how can I change the game for me as a person and also for the brand I'm working with? And of course, 4 years are a long time. What happened? Blah, blah, blah. But can you go back to where was the starting point? How did you do it?
So I think it's looking at the environmental impact, but not necessarily just the climate change impact, but what's happening out in society. People are becoming more curious. People want to know more about what's happening. They want to understand where their products are coming from, how they're being made. Have they got animal products in them? Are they locally sourced? What chemicals are on them? And I think this is, I won't even use the word trend, this is now a behavior that people expect when they purchase anything from a cup of coffee to a pint of beer to an outdoor product. And I think that then is driving what we're all seeing now, which is retailers now trying to find ways of positioning their products and looking at sustainability credentials or different ways of marketing and selling those products around, I'll use the term green now, but maybe we'll come back to that later, but around green credentials. But also the fact that legislation is changing. And part of who we are as a brand is about technical performance. And we've almost taken that to the same level with our sustainability data. So we've almost developed our sustainability role the same way we've developed any product. So we've left no stone unturned. We've looked at every aspect of it. Every part of the business now really is viewed through a CSR sustainability lens. And what we've found is that the whole business is now engaged. We've got teams, whether we've got our warehouse, which is in Derbyshire, and looking at ways of minimizing the use of plastic in the way that we ship our products. We've got people looking at increased use of recycled fabrics as they're developing new products. We've got people looking at end of life. Everyone across the business is now taking accountability for what they're delivering.
So if you see this as a concrete, maybe you can share your project. Could it be called a project plan? Because seeing that from the historical business activities I did, that was always, you need to get the people on board and you need to be sure that from basic to and in all directions, everybody understands what you were talking about. So go back, please.
Yeah.
Go back to the moment. How was that? How did you?
I think for me, it's the thing that I've always been good at is talking. For me, it's been about communicating it effectively and showing people the reason why we've had to do it. So probably the first most memorable moment whilst at Equip was, I think I'd started in February. We then had what we call our internal sales conferences. I think it was in April. And I stood on stage in April, having been with the business about 8 weeks. Most people had never met me. I came from outside the industry, so no one trusted me. I came from the brewing industry. And I stood on stage and just told it how it was. This is where we are. This is all the great stuff we're doing, but this is what we've got to get to, and this is how we need to do it. And it was almost that moment of showing what other people were doing, where we needed to get to, and using that moment to show how we could do it. I think I walked off that stage and a whole bunch of people came to me and went, that's great, but it's a bit ambitious. And here we are 4 years later, and we've done it incrementally in that we've looked at targets almost on a sort of 6-monthly seasonal cycle. And every year we're pushing ourselves, challenging ourselves, but trying to make it tangible so that non-CSR, non-sustainability people can understand it. So our employees can go home and tell their friends, this is what we're doing, isn't it great?
Maybe we can go through one example, because if we see our perspectives on where to collaborate, communicate, education and knowledge transfer, can you take one of the areas out where it was like, it is so complicated? Starting with logistics, supply chain, I can add thousands of examples, but can you take out one as the concrete mind-changing communication? Because that is, when we got to know each other, the most inspiring thing is to combine communication and CSR, and of course, all the digitalization, all the product knowledge, et cetera, comes into it. But communicating the sustainability efforts right changes mindset.
Yeah.
So maybe you can take one example out so that everybody who listens can transfer into his own bubble.
Yeah, I think it's probably jumping forward to almost today.
Yeah, but you can.
Yeah,
of course.
That's
your take.
Yeah.
So maybe you say one more, what happened today, and then we go back to the...
Yes, I think there's... I guess it was almost a concrete example as well, but it's actually where we've got to with trying to communicate what we're doing now. So... One of the big challenges around sustainability is the complication of it. There's lots of people out there trying to talk about lots of things and trying to show that their product is the most sustainable product. And we get asked regularly, what's the most sustainable product? And that's internally and externally. People say, you know, is this product better than this one? And I can't answer that because I don't know what sustainability means to you. And we were finding that was becoming a real problem. So we developed what we've called material facts, which is us being able to communicate in black and white, in like an ingredients label, what this product contains in terms of some sustainability characteristics. And currently we've chosen recycled, we've talked about chemicals, and we've talked about origin and manufacturing origin of that product. Now, that's something that has taken 2 years to develop. If you look at it, it's actually the most simple table you'll ever see, and you'll wonder what an expert spent 2 years doing. But for us, that was almost the point at which we realized we had to get to a way of being able to communicate this sensibly and in a way people can understand. When we launched it to the business probably a year ago now, when we really started talking about it internally, it was really difficult to communicate. As soon as we communicated, people got it, because they could see how within the business they were playing their role to deliver that. And now we're starting to talk about it externally. We have been for the last 6 months, and suddenly people are getting that. But it's taken us 2 years to get to a point of a really, really simple black and white table that people understand and now want to be partner to. And I think it's a good example of how sometimes it's the most simple solution, but it takes you 2 years to get to it.
And the first point for a concrete outcome of our conversation would be to really make sure that you have the holistic view.
Yeah.
And starting from that, and maybe coming back to the example right now, if you take out one of your business pillars or one of the business departments, can you drive through or guide us through?
One of our...
Yeah, when you say like brought it down to...
Our four pillars, yeah.
Commercial. And do you know what Deuter, Orthox, Atomic, Bergans, Dehorn, Sporta 1000, Bechtle Sporta, Schuster Globetrotter, and several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, of course, but they also work together in the Outrun ecosystem to create a new customer journey. Outrun will be a game changer for retail strategy. Their tools for data exchange and data analysis enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outrun, consumers can directly see on the website in which store a product is available. They can make reservations and pick up. They can search for alternative products and make appointments with the brands, retail partners. So sign up for this ecosystem that has become a key player in this sector. It will change the way you perform in retail. Contact that information at outtrack.com with the double T, commercially.
So we have people, planet, partner, product. For each of those, we've got some really clear deliverables against them. And if I look at something like partner, for us, that is about working collaboratively across the supply chain. So going back to our manufacturing partners, and ours are overseas. The majority of them are overseas. We still manufacture in the UK some products, but the majority are overseas. And it's the thing that we've done is really start to look at how we work with those partners, communicate with them, and make sure that their standards are at the standards that we're happy that they're working at in order to manufacture our products. To do that, we work with Fairwear Foundation. We became a leader brand within only 2 years, which was amazing for us. But the reason why we became a leader brand in only 2 years is an ungood proof point, really, is that we'd always been doing this. It just took us a long time before we became a Fairway member to then go through their process to almost validate what we were doing. Prior to that, we didn't feel the need to, because we felt we were doing the processes ourselves.
And it was not a certificate.
And it was, yeah, we didn't need that, yeah. But now we realize that it's no good us just saying we're doing this. You actually need that third-party verification of someone like Fairwear to prove that you're doing it.
Super interesting. And before, I still need more examples because I'm so interested in, but I'm seeing, for example, the change or the already given work over years for social. And then you have the approval of Fairwear. But as you said, you always need communication in between. And that was something what we had in our prep talks. How can sustainability or engagement, however we call this topic, which all makes it stick, together with communication, how can this be supported by each other, because when we started knowing each other, that was the most important thing. So what can you share to make us work better in the industry?
From what Equip can do in the industry?
Now, when we started our conversation, that was the thing on what can be the better communication, what is the upgrade? And of course, we talk on greenwashing, we talk, but the concrete question is, how can we better communicate in terms of sustainability and products? What can we do in the upgrade version?
Okay. So I think one of the things that we've done in our business is try to stop using the word sustainability.
I was struggling.
Yeah.
Meaning it all the time, but...
I think...
Hey, this is a commercial. Do you know what Deuter, Ortovox, Atomic Bergans, DeWalt, Sport 2000, Bechley, Sportler, Schuster, and Globetrotter, plus several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, yes, of course. And they work together with the Outra ecosystem, which is a game changer for brands and retailers. The Outra tools for data exchange and data analysis enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outra, where to buy, consumers can directly see on a brand's website in which stores a product is available. With the Outra Data and Image Hub, brands and retailers can finally exchange product data and images efficiently. Interested in testing the Data and Image Hub? Take the opportunity and request a free demo of the with your brand specific data. It pays you back quickly. The offer is valid until Outdoor by ISPO in June 2024. Sign up for this ecosystem and become a major player in outdoor bike and sports industry. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T.
It's become a really misused word. Mm-hmm. I think it's become a shortcut as well. So people are just using it as a term to mean good or green or eco or value. So we've stopped using the word sustainability where we can. We've also stopped using the word green and eco and environmental friendly and all the other terms. What we've tried to do is boil it down purely to data characteristics. And when we're talking to the rest of the industry, we're using that same language. So we're trying to be really clear to them that what we mean by sustainability is going to be very different to what someone else means. So we have to drive an industry change where we stop trying to compete around who's got the most sustainable or green product and actually start to talk about how we compare data around what would have been sustainability credentials. So recycled content or chemicals within a product, or whether it's manufactured using reduced impact manufacturing like solar panels or renewable energy. And I think it's going to take a big change in the industry. And then I think it's going to be a way that we have to communicate more effectively to our consumers about what they mean when they ask for a more sustainable product or a green product or an eco product. One of the things we know about the outdoor industry is that consumers are really quite well educated. They understand fluorocarbons, they understand downfill, they understand hydrostatic head and waterproofing, and they understand all these hugely technical products that I didn't understand until I joined the industry anyway. And yet we then try and dumb down sustainability into a logo or a green tick or a flag or a leaf. And I think we need to treat consumers the same way, in that we just give them the data and let them make their own decisions about it. It's something we're really pushing for as a business. And we actually, one of the things we've been talking about here these couple of days is working with other brands with us so that we can start to create a new standard about how we communicate together externally. So we're all aligned rather than trying to compete around who's got the most sustainable product.
Mm-hmm. That's more the responsibility behind and using all the moments. And when we refer to the last days, we are on the outdoor show in Munich. And today on the 5th of June, 23. You launched your sustainability report.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So with that, it's our third report, actually, that we've released. And it's always a challenge. It's always one of those things where you think, is this really worth it? It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And who actually reads them? other than people like me checking other people's sustainability reports to see what they
compete.
Yeah, to see what they look like. But I think the important thing to us about a sustainability report is it gives us a chance to pause, stop and reflect on what we've done in that last year. And sometimes you'll know this, kid, you're so focused on what you're doing today, you forget to sit and look back and see where you've come from a year ago. So that chance to pause and reflect, the fact that we do it against the four pillars, so people, partner, product and planet, allows us against each of those to really reflect on what we've achieved and where we still got to go, and there's stuff we know we've still got to do. But it gives us an opportunity to call out key partnerships that we've been working in, promote those people and really share that externally. Showcase this year, we've particularly been working with our athletes. It's the first time we've ever done it, but start to work with our athletes and showcase the work that they're doing within their own expeditions, which helps minimize their impact or educate other people on the impact of big expeditions. So let's call out the work that they're doing. It gives us an opportunity to showcase employees. So many employees are doing so much work around sustainability in our business. And I'm the one who sat here talking to you, but actually there's 230 employees back around the world who are working on this on a daily basis. So this is a chance to really reflect on those. It's also the document that our sales guides can then use to promote to retailers to really try and showcase what we're doing and the fact that it's not just one product that makes something sustainable. It's actually the whole of our business and the different way that we're working across all of our operations. So it's a lot of work. I'm pleased to have finally put it to bed and pressed the button and we've got it sent out today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll be able to sleep tonight now.
And you know what the fascinating thing behind is, if you say the salespeople can use it to promote at retailers, the feeling I have is we need to use it as an cross-educational piece of mindset. Because exactly what you were saying, of course you are a communication professional and your team is et cetera, but the basic pillars behind is for everybody the same. So can you give us more insight on what you were saying on communicating together with others and share? So this is something you just said some minutes ago.
Yeah. So I think there's a number of different partners that we work with, and I've sort of touched on Fairware already. But one of the things we're particularly keen on, and we launched it a year ago now, was something we've called our Mountain Manifesto. Our Mountain Manifesto is recognizing that we're a small business in a really big industry, clearly having a much bigger impact that all of us have across the globe. If we make a change within our industry, within our business, it's a tiny little impact on what happens in the whole supply chain. And an example I'll use is something like we remove poly bags from delivering to consumers through our mail order product. So if you order a product from us and you have it delivered straight from our web store to your home, you won't have a plastic bag on it. And we take those plastic bags away and we recycle them for you so you don't have to worry about it. And we know that they go to a good recycling outlet. That's great, but that's all that we can do within our remit. What Mountain Manifesto is trying to do is demonstrate that we have to do this up and down the supply chain. So we actually need retailers to be doing the same thing with the products that we're sending to them. And recognizing that as an industry, we should all be doing this because RAB and Low Alpine doing their little bit around our products is great, but it's not enough. So as an industry, we have to be working together. So part of Mountain Manifesto is us really trying to lean into the industry and say, we want to share what we're doing. We haven't got it right. Of course, we haven't got it right. But we're trying things. We're deciding what we're doing. We're learning from that. And we want to work with others to find out what they're doing as well.
So this is a working group working. You can use our podcast and video cast right now.
We could.
So please.
That's a great idea. And I think that's part of it. It's trying to find out who's got the skills, who's got the knowledge, how we can share it. And actually working with our athletes this year is a great example of they have a different audience to us. So them talking about running an expedition with lower impact, trying to minimize the use of air travel where they can, is a huge example to our consumers who might be wondering if that's possible or if it isn't. We have other athletes who are using podcasts like this to communicate to others about what they're learning on their expeditions and the impact of climate change and what it means to them. So I think it's a great example there of how we can reach out to retailers, to athletes, to other partners.
super good. And I think if this comparable to, for example, the winter sports industry, there are already around protect our winters, some athletes really setting signs. So a good where if this are now sending out to our listeners and to our industry and to the sector, what should I do if I listen to us and say, okay, I need to engage. I'm an athlete, I'm brand, I'm whoever. What do I need to do?
Become a speech man. I think go and download our sustainability report. Read it before you go to bed tonight. Now, I think the main thing is we're a pretty open brand and we're outdoor people. We like going outside. So come and find me outside for sure. You want me, I'll be on my bike. But I think come and reach out to us. We're on all the social media channels. I don't need to go through what they are. You'll know what they are, but you can find us on all the social media channels. We really want to reach out to people. But aside from that, we're also working with industry groups. So we're working with the European Outdoor Group, who are, you know, always the focus of where we are today in Munich here. We're working with the OIA in the UK and the US.
Outdoor Industry Association.
Outdoor, thank you, yeah. So we're really leaning into those groups and we're doing things like we're hosting webinars, we're doing Q&As, we're doing interviews. We're really trying to lean into the groups, feedback where we've got to, but again, learn as we go because we know we haven't got all the answers. I think we're in a lucky position because we're quite a small company. We're quite quick to act. We're happy to make decisions. Our chief exec is a real leader in terms of just decide and do. And then we'll review where we are. What he doesn't want is us to spend an awful lot of time thinking about stuff. We just need to move. And when you look at something like the climate agenda, we haven't got time to stand and wait and analyze and count and recount and double check. Some of these things, we just have to do it and then review and see how we've got on. But make the decisions with the best information you have today. So anyone who wants to get in touch, find us on an industry group, reach out to me, find us on LinkedIn.
And then we'll share all the information plus the sustainability report in the show notes.
Perfect. Thank you.
And this is super brilliant. Thank you for that conversation. Are you ready for short, spontaneous until?
Not really.
It's from in our B2B podcast, from the like complete scale, it all people business, which such a buzzword, which I do not really like, but on the other hand, it makes us tick what we do. So if you are ready,
let's go.
It's on only two or four questions. Your most inspiring moment, or who inspired you in a special and sustainable way?
I would probably say a boss of mine, who both he and I both would get frustrated around how the sustainability agenda was all negative. Mm. It was all about reduce, minimize, stop doing this, minimize waste. It was all negative. Mm. Just stop, stop, stop. And both he and I worked together to, I guess, change that mindset. And we started looking at how to create a positive impact. And it's something which I've tried to do ever since, is if all you do is tell people, switch off the light, don't drive here, don't travel, don't slide, don't wear those clothes.
How many discussions I have in my friends? This makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. What you should do is try and create a positive impact. What can you do differently? How do you communicate differently?
And how do you feel good because of responsibility?
And make it a motivating thing rather than something you feel guilty about.
Your contribution to making the world a little better.
Oh, I've got no idea. I said nothing that I don't. Chat, share, try stuff. Tell people to try things.
Your most reliable source? Emotionally, cognitive, whatever.
Riding my bike.
Would you like to recommend a book or a podcast or a film or something which shortly inspired you?
Great podcast is podcast in the UK, John Richardson and the Futurenauts. Group of guys talking about, you need to appreciate some bad language in it, but they talk about how bad is the world, and they don't use the word bad, how bad is the world, and they go through education or health or fast fashion or travel, and they review where we are, what we need to do, and how we do it. But they do it in a very lighthearted, quite sweary way. But it's good fun podcast, and they always have some great guest speakers on.
Okay. And last question, how can people get in contact with you for the most ideal way for you?
The most ideal way is probably meet you on my bike on the trails. other than that, I'm on LinkedIn, so you'll find me on LinkedIn pretty easily. You can actually find me on the Equip website, so I'm one of the named contacts from a corporate comms point of view. I'm pretty easy to find, actually. Although my surname isn't that, it's a pretty common surname, I'm pretty easy to find.
Is there something for the ending you would love to share?
I just say, just do stuff. Let's go out and do things. Stop waiting. Just decide and do and make a difference.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I love working with you.
That's a good show. Thank you very much. You too.
Looking forward to working and speaking soon.
Enjoy this evening.
And if you as listeners and watchers like what we do, please share to everybody who's being on the way to be responsible or already responsible in the corporates, because everybody of us has the responsibility for change. Thanks a lot, and see you soon.
Hey, the jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good, preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.